One of the great things about the Discordian revelation that every man, woman, and child on the planet is a fully endowed pope, as infallible as anybody else, has been we've encouraged the growth of other religions. For instance, the John Dillinger Diet for You Society, founded by our Pope Horace Naismith. Some claim he's the illegitimate son of John Dillinger. He won't affirm or deny. But the John Dillinger Diet for You Society holds that Dillinger is the patron saint of our age, because even during the Depression, he didn't look for a government handout. He was self-reliant. He went out and got money his own way, a direct, honest way. And he left behind many wise sayings, such as never trust a district attorney's deal or an automatic pistol, or you can get more with a simple prayer and a Thompson submachine gun than you can get with a simple prayer alone. Or his favorite saying, which he told, to the essence of Buddhism, and he told this to many bank presidents, vice presidents, tellers, bank employees: lie down on the floor and keep calm. That really does contain all the wisdom of the Orient, if you think about it. Lie down on the floor and keep calm. And so the John Dillinger Diet for You Society has unfortunately been fractured by disputes after a book came out, Dillinger Dead or Alive, which claimed the FBI shot the wrong guy and was so embarrassed they covered it up and gave up the hunt for Dillinger, claiming they had killed him. And he's still alive in California, in Los Angeles, actually. So now the John Dillinger Diet for You Society has the symbolic branch that says he symbolically died for us in that alley, even if he's physically alive in Los Angeles. And the revisionists who say he did die, but he has risen, and that's why he's living in Los Angeles. They seem to regard Los Angeles as heaven, which is what it looks like your first day there. After you've been there a few months, you find out it's more like hell. But another of our Discordian offshots is the Church of Fred Mertz Bodhisattva, which is based on the teaching that if you look at I Love Lucy reruns in an altered state of consciousness, and how you get into an altered state of consciousness is entirely up to you. The church does not take a stand on that. But if you're in the right state of consciousness, you'll see that Fred Mertz is speaking all the great mystic teachings of the ages. He seems to say nothing but the stupidest possible remarks. But if you're in the right state of consciousness, everything he says seems incredibly profound. Like, huh? There was a Zen master who answered all questions by saying, quats? And Fred, the response to most things by saying, huh? Well, if you meditate on that, huh, it has as much meaning as quats. Well, the Mu and the other famous Zen koan. And then Fred says things like, I don't understand women at all, sort of the confession of the intellectual bankruptcy of the last 3,000 years of patriarchy. And then there is the American coffee ceremony invented by the Java Crucians. This is, in all respects, the opposite of the Japanese tea ceremony, which they feel is not suitable for Americans who just don't have a Japanese temperament. The Japanese tea ceremony has to be done with great mindfulness and care so that every single detail is seen as if you're on LSD. The American coffee ceremony is the opposite. You get up, you stagger to the kitchen, you throw some instant coffee into a cup. You can't bother with percolating real coffee and all that. Just throw some instant coffee in a cup and hold it under the hot water faucet until you got something that looks like coffee. You stir it with your finger because you can't be bothered looking for a spoon. And then you face the east and you take a hearty gulp. You face the east, the rising sun, and you invoke the sun god crying, rah, rah, rah. And then you take a hearty gulp and you cry out passionately, God, I needed that. And you immediately come to a tremendous clarity. Your brain wakes up and it just keeps on tick, 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 tick. Your brain just keeps right on working until you get to the office, when it stops, of course, like all people in offices. Then there is the Church of the Subgenius, which has probably attained more fame than any of the other Discordian offshots. This is based on the teachings of J.R. Bob Dobbs, who issues real Zen-type koans, like, don't just eat a hamburger, eat the hell out of it. Or, you know, this is the essence of the Subgenius faith. You know how dumb the average guy is? Well, mathematically, by definition, half of them are even dumber than that. If you understand that, you're ready to start your own religion and become as rich as Bob, or Rajneesh, or the Pope, or any of them. A disciple, as Bob once told me in private, a disciple is an asshole looking for a human being to attach itself to. And there are millions of them out there. Look at Rajneesh. He grew up a poor boy in India. Very poor. And then he read in the paper that Krishnamurti had come to this country and got so rich he was able to buy a Rolls Royce. And Rajneesh said, I've got to go to America. It's full of seekers. Why, there's a seeker born every minute in that country. So he came over here preaching his line of gibberish, and he got 93 Rolls Royces before they... Krishnamurti only had one. Rajneesh got 93 before they ran him out of the country. Every time he got a new Rolls, people don't know why he needed 93 Rolls Royces. Why does anyone need 93 Rolls Royces? Well, the answer is every time he got a new one, he'd take a Polaroid of it and he'd write on the back, fuck you, and send it to Krishnamurti. That's how you play the guru game. My favorite religion is actually Shinran Buddhism. I was married in a Shinran Buddhist church 35 years ago, and... The great thing about Shinran is it's an offshoot of Amida Buddhism. Amida was the Buddha who refused to enter Nirvana until all sentient beings could enter Nirvana with him. And so he reincarnates for perpetually to bring everybody to supreme enlightenment. And part of the teaching of Amida Buddhism is if you call on Amida Buddha once with true faith, that'll be enough. Even if you screw up this life entirely, in your next life you'll do better, and the life after that you'll do better, until eventually you do achieve total detachment and nirvana. All you got to do is say in Japanese, Namu Amida Butsu, in the name of Amida Buddha. If you say it with true faith, you will eventually be saved. And in the 12th century, a monk named Shinran meditated on this until his heart broke. He thought it was just not fair to those people who can't muster a true faith. There are some people who are always asking questions, never satisfied, always asking the next question, always a little bit skeptical. I'm one of them. And we just can't manage true faith. We just can't, we're always wondering. Maybe there's an alternative. Maybe there's another way of looking at it. And Amida, the Buddha of boundless compassion, could he possibly leave us out if he intends to bring all beings to perfect bliss and enlightenment? And Shinran decided that was impossible. So Shinran Buddhism is based on the teaching that if you say Namu Amida Butsu once, whether you have faith or not, it's enough. You'll be saved eventually. I think that is the most merciful, the most commonsensical, the most generous, and the most noble religion ever invented. At least it seems that way to those of us who are incapable of true faith in the traditional sense. And so I have said Namu Amida Butsu with some degree of faith and with a great deal of skepticism on numerous occasions. I've never managed total faith, but I like to say it because Shinran says whether I believe it or not, it will work. And so I'd like to leave everybody with those words, Namu Amida Butsu. Say them once. And whether you believe it or not, it will work, and all your problems will be solved. It may take 1,000 incarnations, but eventually you'll get there. And hey, we got lots of time.